Come and pray in us, Holy Spirit.
Thank you. Let's stand and join in singing the gospel in one word. Lord of the universe, living and eternal God, Master and Creator, Mother and Father of this and every moment, pour out your Spirit on our service today and teach us to open our minds and open our hearts. Touch us all deeply with your love and send us home changed. We pray this in your most holy threefold name, Transcendent Father, Omnipresent Word, and Immanent Holy Spirit, your divine indwelling. Amen.
Good morning. Welcome to the Church of Conscious Harmony. There are several inserts in your bulletin. So many. Be sure to take them home with you. They have all sorts of information about what we're going to be talking about and so much more. Also in that bulletin is going to be our community song, so you might want to take a look at it now so that you can sing freely when it comes time to sing. And if you happen to misplace that insert, you can go online, consciousharmony.org. It's always interesting to me when I hear somebody, run into somebody and they say, oh yeah, I heard Wednesday night service when I was doing such and such. Yeah, communication, it's a great thing. So we have a couple of centering prayer retreats coming up, and I was thinking that our Abba, Thomas invited us to do 10 days of retreat a year for transformation. And at CCH, he said, do a daily practice twice a day. Do, and one of the writings he said, and do a monthly time. This is like intimacy with God. This is not like I have to do a retreat. This is like I get to go and forget myself for a few moments and hang out with God. And that is what transforms us. It warms us. It quickens the light and the gifts of the Spirit in us. And slowly and over time and subtly, so that we can't see it and claim it, we become transformed into Christ. So centering prayer retreats are different than just retreats because they're set up to do centering prayer 3 to 4 times a day. And the whole schedule is laid out so you don't have to think about anything. You get fed spiritually, you get fed physically, and you get to rest in God. And you have to give up your will to do that. You say, your will, Father, just by signing on the dotted line. So it's a wonderful chance to start to let go and to open to the presence of divine love, which we are all, we don't like it. We don't like that love thing, God loving us just the way we are, and we don't like not having our will. But it's a good thing to do. So we have a 2-day centering prayer commuter retreat coming up, and this is a nice way to just step into the retreat, centering prayer retreat, because you can sleep at home, you can go back to your families at night, and you'll have 2 days of divine love. And it's a nice way to taste into a retreat setting. And it's also good for people who haven't had their centering prayer retreat this year to actually remember what that feels like and be blessed. So it is August 12th through the 13th, and the 13th. It is $100. The dateline to register is this Tuesday. And the retreat will meet at 8:30 on Saturday and 5:30 on to 5:30 and at 8 to 5:30 on Sunday. And then in September, we have a centering prayer retreat that's focused on forgiveness, on the forgiveness prayer, letting God in to help us forgive and to receive that forgiveness ourselves. And you know, it's interesting because we usually have some forgiveness that we're holding against ourselves, unforgiveness. And we have some unforgiveness that we're holding against others, parents, quite often, and various other people in our lives, and we have some forgiveness that usually we're holding against God that we don't even know. So it's a wonderful way to get that cleansing through us so that we can start breathing real air. And that has some spaces left on it. We have a couple of spaces still open on our Advent retreat, and those are the last multi-day retreats for the year. Also, in your bulletin, you'll notice that the simple explanation of work ideas begins this Thursday at 10 o'clock. It is open to everybody. It's a wonderful way to look at the language of our second discipline, which is the work of inner Christianity. And so it's a good way to start understanding how we speak here and what that is and how it works. And if you're planning to become a member, it is a required class for you. And we do ask you, if you are planning to be a member, to register in the office for that. The deadline to register for the Fall Gurdjieff movements is September 7th. And there is a special insert in your bulletin. And I would just say the movements are a wonderful way to get the teaching into your body and to help to start relaxing the mind, you know, which is the only thing that separates us from the love of God anyway. It's that little tricky mind we have. Thank you all for being so generous with your gifts toward to Caritas, and thank you, Sue and Rusty, for always taking them for us. If this is your first time here at the Church of Conscious Harmony, welcome. We're glad you're here, and there'll be somebody on the other side of the bridge at a table to speak with you and to give you something to take home and read And so we can begin a dialogue if you'd like. And now Tim has a message for us.
Slight amendment to the announcements. The simple explanation class begins at 7:30, not 10. The church will be closed
on
at
the 10th.
On the 10th. Okay. Didn't come up. I see we've got some Lama pilgrims here to share with us. Come on down, folks. Welcome home. And Ben, I'm so glad to see you're here with us. It will move over that way.
I think for a lot of us, we feel like we're still getting back. We arrived late Wednesday evening, and I know for me the experience is still very much in me and on my mind. First of all, though, I want to just say thank you to this community for all the support that you give to this wonderful group of young people that we have the blessed privilege to be able to work with. Hyped. Harmony Youth Practicing Evolving Devotion. And I'd say we did that. You know, we do that here every Sunday and of course at home, but this Lama experience is really a concentrated dose of being in a spiritual community, living and working and practicing all together in oneness of the Spirit. And it really was. So this morning we're going to pass the mic and let the folks who were on the pilgrimage say a few words about their experience.
So my name's Damie, and I didn't actually go to Lama, but two of my boys did. So they're with their dad this Sunday, so I'll be reading messages that they sent me to express to the church their experience. So Liam is 11, and he says, I feel like I don't have to worry about what I thought. I can share it with everybody. It's a sweet coming from my 11-year-old. Cade had a much longer message to share. Cade is 15. He said, the experience I had at Lama was incredible. It wasn't just the scenery or the people there that spoke to me, but also the energy in the place. It was the first time I was ever able to actually feel the energy in a place. I didn't ever think I could until Lama. As soon as I got there, I was able to feel it. The beauty of the land and all of the amazing people contributed so much to the energy of our trip as well. I've never seen so many people so happy and so at home before. It didn't ever seem like there was a negative emotion. Lama has allowed me to learn how to be more open and share with others the things I keep hidden. It has aided in the growth of the relationships I had with the other pilgrims, and in years to come, it will continually assist and grow me, both as a man and in me spiritually.
My name is Corva, and my experience at Lama was just mind-blowing. It's my second year going, and I thought it would just be the same as last year, and we get to go and experience things with everyone. But this year was just a lot more emotions and a lot more connecting with each other and a lot more love going around and new people that got to go that you get to share your experience with. And it was just amazing that you're able to be so open about it and not have to feel like you're hiding everything about yourself. And, yeah, it was just amazing.
My name is Jax. This is my third year. And I'm still really confused about it. I don't know how to describe it. I think the biggest thing that I really got out of it was I really got to see that I can open up to these people and that I can open up. Lama has this energy that you really don't feel around that many places. And it's not like a happy nor negative. It's like, it's weird. So I really did enjoy it. And it was great. I really had, it was probably one of my favorite years. So yeah, and I really got to connect with everyone else too. So it was really good.
All right, my name is John, and it's my first year at LABA. So, it's a very different experience, letting go of all electronics, you meet anger, any sort of distraction, just let go of it, and then you kind of just focus on just what the present is and, like, not think about anything negative. There's no negativity there. It's always positive. Everyone's bright to talk to you. You know, be social. And it's a place where, you know, I feel like I changed a bit. And letting go of anger, that's happened a lot to me. That's a good place to let go of your emotions and, you know, just share with people, be open-minded to them. It's a great place you need to come to. All of you.
Hi, I'm Shannon, and this is my fourth year, and you'd think by now I'd be an expert at this, right? This year threw me for a loop. I was pretty sound with the whole process, the things we would do, the people I would meet, pretty comfortable, had an amazing experience the last 2 years. But then you decide to show up at a different time of year with a different group that was pretty exponential in the age difference, but we made it work. And because it was a different time of year, I got to meet different people. We got to try new things. And I was going in thinking, like, my aim was to have new eyes and to try and, like, get to have at least some connection with all of the age differences. And I definitely think I did that. And it was nice being able to find a new practice. Like, there were some things that I had never, like, we did a women's lodge, which I was like, they were like, if you know what a women's lodge is, like, you know what to, like, you're getting into. And I was like, this is my fourth year. What's a women's lodge? Like, what the heck? And it was fun, and I felt like it was a new year for me as well. I got to try something I had never experienced. I got to try kirtan. I'm definitely going to wink, wink at dawn to put those into our practices. But it was an amazing year. I met some amazing people, and it surprised me.
So apparently, this year my name is Merle. thanks, Coop. This is also my first year, and like Shannon, it's definitely different. Not in a bad way, I guess. But just every the past 3 years we've been, it was like there's always new things going on and new people and a new experience, but there's always like a certain expectation, I guess, that I can get from it. Like schools, it's different things you learn, different teacher sometimes, but you still know what you're going into. And this year, we went into monsoon season. we may or may not have lost a few tents and books. unfortunately, I was sick about half the week, so I didn't get to experience everything that they had. but even then, it was a whole nother experience that I don't encourage you to get sick for it, but it was. There was definitely a way. It was like you spend more time when you're sick. You spend more time talking to people rather than experiencing other things. But it's like a whole new other experience. I learned a lot more about the locals, my peers, other adults, people that I didn't even know. Was like made sure we were taken care of all the sick people there. Anyways. they made sure that we felt comfortable, that we really weren't like in need of a hospital, I guess. It could have gotten to that point, I imagine, up there. But you know, even the cats come and spend time with us. And there's just not really a great explanation for it, but it's definitely something that I'm glad that I decided to go this year. I was really iffy on it. No, I'm glad I got to experience something that I personally have not experienced for or even expected.
My name is Melinda, and I was also really iffy about wanting to go this year because I went last year, and it's a pilgrimage, so that means it's very uncomfortable in a lot of ways, both psychologically and physically. But I'm so grateful that I did go because it was a totally different experience this year. And it was beautiful and transformational and inspiring. And I'm super grateful to Dawn and David and the other chaperones that it's a labor of love to haul 17 people across the states. So they were up before everyone else and went to bed later than everyone else. And even after we were here at the church, they went back and delivered the vans. And so it's a commitment, and I'm grateful.
My name is Sandra. This was my fourth time to go to Lama, and just like everyone else has said, it was an amazing trip, and every year it's different. The first three times, one of my daughters was there, and this time my son, Asa, was there. And I think for him especially, it was really transformational. I wish he could have been here today, but he's not. But I asked him what he wanted me to say, and he goes, well, I just want to say that everyone, kind of like John said, everyone should go to Lama. So, and it's funny because he didn't want to go. And I kind of pushed him. I know you shouldn't push as a parent, but I knew he would love it once he would be there. So, okay, I kind of bribed him a little bit. But so my biggest reward was afterwards. I was like, well, would you go again? He goes, definitely. So, I mean, it was such a great experience. And just to see him go through that, for him, the men's lodge was super great. And I asked why it was so great. He goes, well, I cried. And, you know, he doesn't cry very much. So I think, you know, having that safety to open up as a young boy, he's 13, is just, you can't, there are not many opportunities in our society for kids like that to do that. So super grateful also to David and Don. They were our fearless leaders in this adventure. So thank you.
Hi, my name is Ben. This was, I first went to Lama 20 years ago, actually, this summer with Don. So this was a big cycle, but as far as that's concerned, I really tried to focus. The energy for me was on coming with this group and joining a youth group. I've worked with youth in the past, by the way. You should all know this. In other programs, other contexts, these are not those things. These kids are amazing. It was a totally different experience. It was really wild to be there in the role of, I don't know, pseudo-chaperone. I don't know what. We need a different name for that ourselves. Co-pilgrim with these youth who just blew not just us away, they blew everybody at Lama away. People were pulling me aside all week. Where did you find these kids? That's something this community can be really proud of, but you guys should be really proud of yourselves too, those of you here and those that couldn't come today. Just made a profound impact on the mountain itself, as well as the mountain made an impact on you guys. So it was beautiful to watch that, and I'm still coming to terms with what I saw the whole time.
Ben, could you just share your perspective of the being of the kids that started with you and the being of the kids that are here today?
I'm glad they changed the name to Evolving and Hyped. Yeah, we used this metaphor several times during the trip, and it really did kind of crystallize for me this vision that, you know, what we started was just an idea. For those that don't know, I mean, the original idea came from Tim to go to Lama because there was some history for him in discovery in that place. And at the time, 20 years ago, we started a youth group here, or a couple years before that, started a youth group at the STEC location of this church. And he brought that up because we had a lot of questions, not just about Christianity, but about how the world structure and perspective makes sense within a larger sort of theosophical process. And we were constantly bugging you with questions. I still remember that very fondly. We were never satisfied with anything back then. And so it started with a question, and from there we got a long way and came up with this idea of the pilgrimage. It started and stopped over the years, but what I saw is massively different. I think that each year probably there's a progression in the understanding that these youth have as they go up there, but I don't think anybody was sharing in heart tuning the way these kids share in heart tuning. It is so beautiful. You should see it. And I'll explain what that is if anybody's curious later. But it's profound. It's really evolved in a way that I never could have imagined. And that's been really beautiful.
Thanks,
Ben. I'm Lewis. And like Ben said, it's chaperone isn't the word. It's, you know, we're all pilgrims. We were all together. So to, just to keep this short, a lot of echoes that was said, and it's not only a privilege; it's a deeply, you know, heartfelt honor to be there. So that's it. Thank you.
I'm gonna steal this for one more minute. I was thinking, it's like, I don't know how to describe this year. And it came to me, I read a lot of books while I'm up there, and one of the books I read was The Epic of Gilgamesh. And it's the oldest epic in the world, and it really clicked with me, and I felt it was definitely right to read it up there. And there was, I don't remember the exact quote, but there was a quote that Gilgamesh said to his best friend that I think that I really felt like really hit with this trip. And he was saying, why are you afraid? People don't live forever. Only gods live forever. Only gods have immortality. We're all going to die someday. So why should you be afraid to go and do this, go and fight your battles? And I felt like, I think that really, really hit me, especially up in Lama, where everyone's so open with their emotions and with who they are. So, I'm done.
Beautiful. And more. A little more to add. Okay, so, yeah, the fields. Did we add anything? So, lucky for me, I convinced Liam and Asa to sweat lodge with me. I got him in it, and it's good. Come out of there seeing the sky is red, and the clouds are purple, and my eyes look like they're bleeding, they're just really red. And that's Lama. Just Lama's like, be conscious, be blessed, be free, and then there's be dirty and be wet.
This year was like a green mango.
My name is Don, and I was taken with your talk, listening to the CD last week, that you said that this journey is going down, and going into Lama is, you're still present, of course, in this world, but you're down in the reality of what is beating our hearts and doing us. And so being in Lama is like that, especially with these young people. And I just want to give a huge bit of thanks to David for taking on this role of leadership, especially with me trying to let go of the leadership role and sometimes not doing such a good job of it. But I can't thank David enough, and I wanted to thank him in front of the whole community, because I think we all can understand some of the difficulties that goes into planning and orchestrating this, and David did a brilliant job of it, so I really appreciate you.
I appreciate you, Brother Don.
I really see us as the co-leaders of the trip, even though I did a lot of the administrative stuff. I'll just share that for me, one of the things that really stood out was just this feeling of open heart. And I got to do a little bit of reading during the trip, and it was from a relatively new book by Ram Dass that I picked up on the way. And he was describing his experience with his guru and how the guru was just in a state of unconditional love, that just being in the guru's presence, he felt that love. But how he described it was, it wasn't that he was feeling the love coming from the guru. That wasn't his experience. It was that it was drawing that divine love up in himself. And that's really the way I felt during this trip, is that being in a community that was so full of love, and with this group that was so full of love, it just brought that love up inside of me. I wanted to just share one last testimonial from Zach, who couldn't be with us today. He and his family are in Wyoming. They didn't want to waste any time messing around at home. They just took right off for Wyoming. And this is what Zach said. This year's experience, Zach's been three times? This was his third year. This year's experience at Lama was so profound. From the moment I got into the van, I could feel there was a lot of collective intention. It definitely manifested throughout my experience on the pilgrimage. The previous year, I had written a detailed journal on each day, but this year, I could never get myself to sit in the library or tent and write. I was too busy marveling at the mountains on the horizon and marveling at the beauty of God's creation. That was the other thing. I'm a pretty left-brained spirit, but this year I dove far more into the experience and was able to feel God as I was chanting, dancing, and sweating. My unloading for the trip was all about feeling God and what a joy it was to connect with Him. I had such an amazing experience, and I want to thank each and every one of this church for helping to hold us in heart and intention. Blessing and all my love. Namaste.
Namaste, pilgrims.
Just real quick, the other pilgrims who were not able to be here today, Mary Sophia, who, bless her heart, she was sick for most of the pilgrimage, but she took it like a trooper, and I'm sure she had her own experience that was very deep. And also, you know, Liam and Cade are not here. And Anya, and Kate, and all of them had amazing experiences. So thank you.
Thank you, Tim.
You know, Ben said that the youth peppered me with questions. And you know, I was always grateful for those questions, because when I was that age, I wouldn't bother to ask them. I knew they would come back as stereotyped, out-of-the-box answers. And the things that were hungering in my heart, I had no way to put into the terms that I had been conditioned with. So I just held them inside and felt, there's more, there's got to be more, and I want to know it. But it didn't come by any conventional means to me. It came by a series of miraculous graces that poured into my life, of which this moment, I can tell you, is one of the most fulfilling moments I've ever had. Ben was a little guy when I met him. Look at this man. He comes back with all the maturity and spiritual grace in the world and leads kids, shares in the gift of pilgrimage with kids, and gets to witness something that happens without anybody doing it. Now, he acknowledged the growth that had come along during the years, the growth in being, you know, presence, that has occurred in our youth group. Well, the same thing has happened in this group. over time, through practice and common intention, you heard that it was our combined intention, we've gone deeper and deeper and deeper into the presence of God. Now, if we're doing our job right, we have less and less information, less and less of what is called knowledge, words and concepts, and more experience that doesn't require any words. It doesn't require articulation with concepts because it's self-validating. It is an experience of a different me that I might not even be able to talk about. But I know it inside. And that's what I heard from a bunch of the young people. Something happened. It happened to me there. Something happened to me on that holy mountain. And the environment itself was, of course, conducive to that. Those volcanic cones we heard about out on the horizon, some of the most extraordinary beauty and light you'll ever see. Through that octagonal window in the dome at Lama, you see the sun as it's changing all day long, changing the light on those mountains. And there is a sense, like Zach said, I was a left brain reader too, and I went into that library and I found a book about this thick. And it was the biography of Sri Ramakrishna, the great Indian saint who died in 1916, and his devotees and his disciples. And it was a story, a spiritual, how can I say? It was an adventure story. But the adventure wasn't going to mountains, and the adventure wasn't crossing seas. The adventure was spiritual transformation, and there were a group of people on it. And oh, how I wanted to be on that adventure. And as I sit here today with the reflection of the kids coming back and looking into the faces and experiencing the hearts of all the friends that have come here, it is absolutely clear that nobody did this. Growing isn't something somebody does. It happens. But it only happens when you put the right influences, the right fertilizer, you might say, on that which is growing. It has to have the appropriate medium. Jesus talked about seed being sown on the path or on rocky ground or on thorns and then good ground. Well, the ground of our personal being is the ground upon which the seed of the word of understanding is cast. But then with daily practice, with daily exercise of the tools of the work to do inner separation and sorting out what are all these thoughts and feelings about everything. Somebody say that. This kaleidoscope of thoughts and feelings and sensations that's always seducing us into feeling separate, that just gradually goes away. And what replaces it is, as I said, presence. And that presence is what we have been looking for all our lives. Looking for that presence was why I love team sports. Because sometimes you could feel it. I was an oarsman at Boston University, and an eight-oared shell with a bunch of new people in it is a pretty rocky business. It's just like this. But after you learn to do it, something happens. Eight people all together doing exactly the same gesture at the same time, and all of a sudden there's this feeling of transcendence. The boat seems to lift out of the water and move without effort. And it's the beauty of the combined participation that made that what it was for me. But when we left the boat and went back to dorms, we were the same kind of people. I played team sports as an adult in Toronto. And it was great because it was like an extension of a fraternity. I was like still in college and I was working in corporate life and I had secret life as a rugby player and a football player in the amateur leagues of Toronto. And once again, it was the team that made it seem what it was. Oh my gosh, I love you guys. I love you guys. We'd get drunk after a rugby game. I love you guys. Hey, Jude. Don't make it. Oh, I love you guys. I'll never forget. In many basements in Toronto. English guys. I was with all English guys and a few Aussies. And that was an adventure of a sort, but it never quite got to my heart until a couple of books got into me. And the first one was, I've told you many times, one of my co-workers just said, hey, read this. by the way, you'll never be able to stop. And it was the Wisdom of Insecurity by Alan Watts, which changed everything in my mentality. And then Be Here Now came along, because I became a junkie for books about this. Here came Be Here Now, and something happened to my heart. But it was me alone. And it was nice to know that, and the guys on the rugby club sometimes would pull me aside and say, what's going on with you? You look so happy. Well, yeah. That was as far as I could go. We didn't have a common context. We didn't have a medium to share anything but our violence and our need to be lifted out of the stuff, which it could be during a rugby game or in the drinking afterwards. I hungered for union with other people, union with the same cause. And then I found out at Lama, it was my very first retreat at Lama, what it's like to be in a collective. What it's like to do something together that you can't quite see your number or quantify or rank or hierarchically compare to something else. Something happened in the body mind. Don talked about it. I said, come down. I came down. Got into my body. The body came down to the speed of the earth, instead of that frenetic moving from this to this to this to this, which is okay, but it's not real. That's not our life. And what I found on Flag Mountain was the bodily connection to consciousness. Now, one would think that consciousness were up in the head, and the head will tell you that all day long. Consciousness is me. Yes, that's right. Well, sort of. But what we're looking for isn't contained in concepts. And though it can be articulated in concepts and pointed to in concepts, spoken about in words, those words always remain a finger pointing at the moon. And you look at the finger and not the moon. What the words are leading us to is a sense of being present in our bodies right now by the grace of God in the mystery of human incarnation. How is it that we keep going on? How is it that we are here? Well, I was born in Wisconsin. All that. Well, you could tell a story about it all day long. It still doesn't equal understanding the mysterious nature of presence, the mysterious power of words, the mysterious grace of God that moves into us through this word and through the countless books that have helped each of us see mostly what it's not, with pointers toward what it could be. And then here, the greatest mystery of all, on the communion table before us, some can't be explained at all, but it can sure be participated in. And so the spiritual adventure is one of growth, one of soul development. It is not a self-improvement project. It is not getting better behaviors, though those things will happen. It's a new relationship with existence itself, a new, brand new relationship with oneself, because it's always surprising. We never dreamed that it was, you mean this? It's been here all along. Yes, but you've been busy. Like Martha, you worry and fret over many things. But Mary, who is gazing at the Lord, has the better part, and it shall not be taken from her. So the better part is what we've learned and are learning to do together here. And the better part, far from being individual and personal and a possession, can really only be found in community. The individual isolation that we practice and the way we drive, the way we shop, the way we live in our homes is why we're so lonely, why drugs are such a big problem. Because that's not real. We're not separated, isolated individuals. Unique expressions of the one humanity, every one of us, never to be repeated. But who we are is our behaviors, our history, our story. What we are is the human being in every case. We are the human race. Every one of us is human nature in person. And if we get stuck to the story or judge other people for the way their story is playing out, we may miss entirely this presence that is the pearl of great price. This presence that is so validating, so invigorating, that it can take kids of 13 to 15 and make them as eloquent spiritually as these people we just heard. That's just astonishing. I think back to when I was that age. I'm going to sit in the balcony, Mom, and we'd be up there playing around and doing stuff just to sit church out till it was over. It was the only thing I knew how to do, was to wait till it was over. These people have not only been fed by it, but now they fed us too. And the spirit of community that came back from Lama in the body, minds of those people is now our experience too. They just gave it to us, and we can share it if we understand Christ. One life, one light, one love manifested through these countless diverse forms, but nevertheless always and only that living one. There isn't anybody else. There isn't anything else. Here we're learning to see through the illusory nature of mind and drop in to the always already present life of heart, which is intelligence itself, which is order itself, which gives us everything we want and tells us everything we need to know, and which can only be accessed through letting go of this and then this and then this and then this, to drop down into the body again, where we started as little babies, and to find out that all the stuff we gathered along the way was useful for its time, but in the end becomes nothing but baggage, like the shell of a seed that has split after it's done its work. So the germinal material of the light of Christ just shined on us through some human beings, both adults and kids. Now let's let it into our hearts, be informed by it, inspired by it, and carry it out to be kind and compassionate and generous and loving and gracious to all the other versions of the one human being that we meet. Let's stand and give our heart to song.
You are the water of life. Thy work shall praise thy name.
merciful and mighty, which word and art and evermore shall be. Of centering prayer and community to open to that holiness that dwells in us and yet is ever greater than we are. To prepare ourselves, we first become aware that the chairs in which we sit are supporting our body weight. In being aware of that, we accept that support and let go. We let our bodies relax, deeply relax, and open. Still within and without. We let our attention fall to the area of the heart, the seat of life itself, the seat of divine love, resting in the heart. We listen with the ear of the heart to the contemplative poet. Dear friends, do not lose heart. The kingdom will suffer if you do. I too am stumbling under the burden of my not enoughness. My unfinishedness cries for recognition, love, and acceptance. My unfinishedness cries for the wholeness, for wholeness. It cries for me. There is a promise in me that wants to be kept. It wakes up every morning and believes in my faithfulness. The promise knows that if I break it, part of myself will be gone like water running through a cupped hand, and I may never find it again. My friends, it is only an illusion that our hearts are too weary. It is only an illusion that we are too weak to keep promises. For I know a kingdom that will rejoice forever, because of promises kept. And now we open to God's promise of being here always, loving us, holding us, and calling us on to be what we are in Christ. Now, in peace, let us pray together the prayer that Jesus shared with us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
service when we share our tithes and offerings with the church that feeds us. And we do it in the spirit of God's endless, infinite, abundant supply for every atom and particle of creation. Taking our tithes and offerings in our hands, fully conscious of truth, we say these words of prayer. God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. Let's know the truth together. God's love has always met and will always meet all my needs. I give freely and receive joyfully. No, we are so blessed when we simply remember God. Amen. Pervading love of God. We dedicate these tithes and offerings to the victory of consciously chosen love in each of the moments of each of our lives over the lie of separation and our useless acting out from fear. We pray this in Christ. Amen. I've been listening to tapes of a Dominican priest who's got commentaries on Pierre de Chardin, which Ilya has told us plenty about. But as I'm listening to these tapes, I'm ever more profoundly moved by this man who wrote in the 20s, 30s, who understood things that quantum physics are finding out today. A scientist and a mystic, but he understood the holiness of matter, that matter itself, he did a mass on the universe. He's out in the deserts of China, having been exiled by his order for teaching things that were not yet understood by the Vatican. And so he said, I have neither bread nor wine to offer you, so I will spread my hands before the entire earth and the entire universe, and let this be my consecration to see your holiness in every particle of existence. And I would invite you, when we participate in Eucharist, to, yes, see the little ceremony and see the ritual and the rite and the history of it and all of it we talk about regularly, but to realize what's being offered here is the understanding that matter itself is sacred and holy. That the entire universe, the entire physical universe, the earth itself is sacred and holy. This has been known forever, forgotten since the Reformation, or the time of Descartes particularly, thinking a lot, the sacredness is gone. We just think it's a thing to be walked across, to be looked at, to mine the resources from. But these bodies are God's temple, and the earth is God's temple, and each animal is God's temple. And the sacredness and holiness of life under the sea and on the earth and in the skies and in these chairs is one life, with one God living it, one God endowing it with all its properties, and an invitation for us to come out of our heads and into His life. We're going to run a little long today because I want to say this. The blood that is coursing through our veins right now has a high hemoglobin content. It carries iron. And iron is electromagnetically attracted. When the electromagnetic attraction of this physical horizontal world of concepts and events attracts our attention, our blood is different. It's polarized horizontally. In a moment of inspiration and realization, we get a different feeling. It feels different. It's lighter, higher. And all of a sudden, our blood is polarized vertically. The North Pole is God and not current events. So the invitation comes week after week, month after month, and year after year, because the world keeps seducing us once again and again and again into thinking that we're separate from God, separate from each other, separate from love, separate from good. This is an invitation to come home, to gather into the wholeness of God and the sacredness of your own body. When you look in the mirror after participating in Eucharist, take a good look. Take a good look at the mystery of life in human form and your personal consciousness that gets to experience it in a brand new way. And maybe even in that moment, you'll feel that vertical call of the right now holiness of God. Let's join together in prayer. Abba, we thank you that we know you hear us now, and that we know you always hear us. It's you who are giving us words, you who are teaching us to pray, and you who are giving us faith to pray in that lets us know and be certain that you always hear and answer when we ask. Abba, we ask. Pour out your Spirit on these elements so that we might recognize, receive, and respond to them as the body and the blood of your Son, the living Christ. Let them communicate His body to our bodies and His blood to our blood. Fill us with your Holy Spirit, Lord, and transform us in your love. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. During supper on the night he was betrayed, Jesus took bread, and having said the blessing, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat it. This is my body, which shall be given up for you." This is the body of Christ. When supper was ended, he took the cup, and again he gave God thanks and praise. He gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is the cup of my blood, the blood of the new and everlasting covenant. It will be shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sin. Whenever you do this, remember me. This is the blood of Christ.
Please join us in singing our communion song, Abba.
We are the clay.
Living and eternal Christ, we feel your risen presence as the very life that pervades and yet transcends our bodies and our minds. We realize you are the way and the truth, and we're grateful to share in your body and your blood. May our participation in these divine mysteries transform us into one, in your mystical body, the true body of Christ. For the glory of God our Father, for the glory of his kingdom here on earth, and so that our joy might be complete. We pray this in your most holy and precious name. Amen. Well, let's stand and sing Amazing Grace, inspired by our young ones. Lord, hear our prayer. Thank you. Amen.